For God hath highly exalted him and given him the name above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee shall bow, of those things in heaven, those things on earth, and those things under the earth. Every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. He said, in this world you will have tribulation. You'll have trouble. But be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. He overcame for us. He went before us. He's our forerunner. And we also are overcomers in Christ. Those who do not follow after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Amen. Who walk in the Spirit. Thank you, God. The Father's looking for worshipers who worship Him in spirit and in truth. Hallelujah. The Bible says to be continuously filled with the Holy Spirit. Continuously filled with the Holy Spirit. Not just on Sunday morning. Walk in the Spirit daily. Amen. Amen. Singing and making melody in your heart unto the Lord. Hallelujah. Psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Be filled. Hallelujah. You'll become like what you behold. If you want to be like Jesus, you're going to have to worship in spirit. Behold Him. See Him. Show me a glory, Lord. Show me a glory. I want to see You. I want to know You. I want to touch You. I want to feel You. I want to hear You. I want to love You. I want to know You, Lord. I want to know You. Holy Father, unveil our eyes today. And reveal by Your Holy Spirit the Lord to us. We want to see Jesus. Thank You, God. There is no one like our God. No one like our God. Hallelujah. Thank You, Jesus. Jesus said, all authority is given unto Me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and preach the gospel. Hallelujah. Understand who we have backing us up, who is with us. The awesome greatness of our God beyond comprehension, beyond human ability to comprehend. But we're getting glimpses, little glimpses, as the Spirit of God reveals Him to us. And let the size of your God determine the size of your dreams. Hallelujah. It's okay to dream with God. You know that? Just like we want our children to have dreams too. Thank You, God. But may our dreams be in agreement with His best for us, which is His will. Otherwise, we will waste our time here. And how many know that time is precious? And time is short. And time is running out for people to be saved. Time is running out for some who are not ready. There are people who sit in church who are not ready. What is missing today is the fear of the Lord. Is the fear of the Lord. And the knowledge of Him. But also a lack of obedience. Because if you don't fear God, you're not going to obey Him. We really do care. You know why? Because we have Jesus in us. Amen. Jesus is in our heart. And He loves in us and through us. Amen. We have a higher love, agape love. That's an unidirectional love. And, you know, even if somebody curses you, what do you? You bless them back. And if somebody hates you, love them back. Amen. Hallelujah. That's how you overcome evil. And, you know, I've discovered it. If I start praying for people, even if they're my enemies, with the same passion I pray for myself. It doesn't always start that easily, but the more you start to pray for them and pour yourself towards that person in prayer, the more you'll find yourself loving that person. Yeah, it's amazing. Isn't it true that the more that we pour into the people that we love, the more that we pour into our children, you know, the more that we pour into them, the more that you love them. Isn't that the way it is? I mean, if you have a small child, you love that child, but as you grow with that child, you'll love that child more in time. And it's the same thing in relationships, amen, the more we're together. And the more we're with Jesus, and the more we discover how good He really is, the more we will love Him. You cannot become acquainted with Him and not love Him. Yeah. It's impossible. To know the real Jesus is to love Jesus. Yeah. See, He wants us to know Him. He doesn't want us to be ever learning about Him. He wants us to come into relationship with Him. And in relationship is where you receive authority, exousia, to exercise His will on the earth, amen? And to make decrees even. God gives us both authority and dunamis power, dynamic working power. But power can be fleeting, amen? Power can be for the moment. Sometimes people will receive a blessing in the moment. Maybe we're together and it was a powerful moment, and maybe they have even been delivered, or maybe, should I say, healed, or something supernatural has happened to them. And yet, in some cases, they can walk out the door and lose that. But when Jesus shows up on the scene, when there is authority, and not just power, but when He came, you know, to the region of the Gadarenes, am I saying that correctly? And the man of the tombs that cried out, who had been tormented by the legion of demons, and, you know, they saw Jesus a great way off. And in the spirit, demons recognize authority. Come on, they understand who Jesus is. Have you come to torment us before our time? And when we are abiding in union with Him, when we are in prayer, when we are seeking Him in relationship, as we grow and develop in our relationship, there is a download, if you will, of authority, exousia, that comes upon us. You can operate and function in power and even have miracles, but exousia, authority, is greater. Kings, people, governors, those in authority have been given exousia to exercise, right? On the earth, the will of God. They're supposed to represent God. And so people can have the military backing them up. But, you know, if you don't know that you have authority, if you don't know who you are as a leader, what good is the military? You see, if a cop doesn't know who he is and he doesn't know that that badge represents something, what good is it? He's just a parade soldier, right? He's just looking good. And you know, God doesn't want His people just looking good. We are to look good, amen? But we are to be more than just parade soldiers. We are to be combat soldiers. We are to be in the trenches doing the work, amen? By the authority invested in us through our Lord Jesus Christ, who is our head, commander-in-chief, to do what? To exercise the will of God on the earth, to decree and declare His kingdom has come and His will to be done here in the earth realm. And the demons tremble at the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Hallelujah. We're not afraid of the devil, because greater is He that's in us than he that's in the world. But if you are not in Christ and you don't know who you are, then you will be fearful. And again, fear is faith in the devil. You see, the devil is trying to convince people that he's bigger than God. He's a liar, but he is effective in a lot of people's lives. People are living in fear and in phobias and in anxieties. But God says, I have not given you a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. That's the truth. Is that 1 John 1:7? Now in Proverbs 28:13 it says, he who covers his sins will not prosper. But whoever confesses and forsakes them will have mercy. God's mercy is you and I not getting what we really deserve. And God gives grace, and that's also getting something we don't deserve. But those who do what? Confess and forsake their sins will find mercy, will have mercy from God. That's how it works, folks. You see, we can confess till we're blue in the face, but if you're not willing to repent and turn from that, if you're not willing to forsake that sin, then you're still going to be a puppet for the devil. You see, God does not want his people to be slaves, amen? Because he purchased us to become sons and daughters. So in Christ, we're sons and daughters, so we're no longer to live in with a slavery mentality. Slavery to what? Slave to the devil, to the flesh, to the dictates of evil, right? To this world. But God has given us exousia. To as many as received him, to them he gave the right or the authority to become the sons of God. And I want to say this, there are different levels of authority in the kingdom, amen, in the church. So don't think of yourself beyond how God has, to where God has brought you at this point, because you'll get into trouble. There are levels of authority that God gives. That's why the disciples, Jesus was grieved because the disciples were unbelieving when they couldn't cast out the demon, remember? He says this kind doesn't come out except through what? Prayer and fasting. What does that mean? It means relationship, intimacy with God. And with intimacy with God, there comes your authority. Now, sin, we know, is that which is contrary to God's will, God's rule, amen, of law. So when we sin, we are breaking God's law. And sin is revealed to us in the law of God. Thou shalt not steal. Anybody here ever steal anything? So by the law, we are found what? Guilty. And the problem is that a lot of people are living with guilt. And they don't know what to do with it. So they look for ways of trying to feel better or mask it or hide it. So we turn to drugs or alcohol or sex or sports or whatever, some kind of thing to occupy our time. Hear me. I'm not saying that sports are evil, but sometimes they become idols because that's what we've given ourselves to. Okay, and God gets left out. God gets neglected. So what I'm saying is that sometimes we are trying to cover up our own sin, and yet God sees it. God sees through it all. It's impossible for us to hold anything back from God or even to hide anything from God because he sees all. You see, we can externally present ourselves with any image that we feel people want to see. And yet we can be just being a hypocrite. That means a stage actor or acting. And God never called his people to act like Jesus. He wants us to become like Jesus. And people who practice religion are trying to act like Jesus or act like their God. When we talk about, you know, copying in the sense that we are to walk as Jesus did, we are looking at his example. Amen? But how many know that if I'm not being transformed by the Spirit of God, then all my external works of righteousness are completely worthless? There are many people who do a lot of good deeds, but your good deeds will never save you. All the good works that we do, even helping people, being kind to people, being good, upright citizens, volunteering ourselves, if it's not done in God, then it is absolutely zero. Because it's what the Bible calls self-righteousness. And often we do things because we don't know what to do with this guilt problem that we've been living with. We don't know how to get rid of that guilt. And so we occupy ourselves with things, good things, so that we can temporarily, hear me, feel better. But that guilt still comes back and nags at us and eats at us. And if you don't know how to deal with it, you live your life masking it, pretending that everything is okay. You know, you hear it said here a lot, but if we pretend to be what we're not, we'll never become who we're supposed to be. So God breaks it down. He says, I know all about you. I know all about it. I know your failures. I know your successes. But you've got to come to me if you want mercy. You've got to come to me in relationship if you want mercy. Amen? You cannot just do enough good stuff for God to like you anymore. God already loves you. But hear me, God cannot save you unless you're willing to come to him through the only way that he's made available, and that is through his son, Jesus Christ. Amen. That means that you must repent of your sins. That was the message of Jesus. That was the message of John. That is the message of the church today, that we are to repent of our sins, that we are to change our minds about the way we've been living, the way we've been walking, the things that we've been doing. Repentance is not just confessing, it's forsaking too. Because there are many people who come down to an altar and will confess, and they will feel good for a moment. They'll be like the hog that just got a wash, you know. And I feel nice and clean. And if we don't repent, if we don't renounce those things, if we don't turn from those things, then we walk out of here right back into the same hog pit. Amen? Into the same mess. And God didn't come to patch us up. He didn't come just to wash us. He came to change us, transform us into his image. He came to make us a brand new creation. Not a patch job, but a new creation in Christ Jesus. That means what? The old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. A new creation, a new order, a new way. Now, how many would agree with me today that we are living in the last days? Yeah. I think if anybody has any sensitivity to the Spirit of God and their eyes are open, they can look around and say, you know what? Things are not the way they've been. You know, I mean, things are changing rapidly. Things are happening quickly around the earth. Everything seems to be shaken up right now, including our own United States. Amen. Everything is being shaken, folks. But what God is doing is he's sifting things right now. And he's going to take his wheat. Amen. And the chaff is going to be blown away. You see, Jesus said that there's going to be wheat and tares. A tare looks just like a stalk of wheat, except that it has no fruit. But it can look like a Christian. Talk like a Christian. Act like a Christian, but it's still a tare. It's a weed that looks like wheat. See, God's looking for fruitfulness. Fruitfulness comes through what? Abiding in him in relationship. Fruitfulness doesn't come just by coming to church. Amen? It is an ongoing relationship that you develop with the Lord through intimacy with him, through prayer, as we seek him and in his word. Now, turn with me, if you will. Revelation chapter 9 and verse 13. Revelation chapter 9, verse 13. This is speaking of there's seven deadly sins that are going to characterize the last days. And I think as we go through these, you're going to realize that, yeah, absolutely, this is what's happening. And it's happening in the church as well, by the way. Revelation 9 and chapter 9 and verse 13. Then the sixth angel sounded, and I heard a voice from the four horns of the golden altar, which is before God, saying to the sixth angel who had the trumpet, release the four angels who are bound at the great river Euphrates. So the four angels who had been prepared for the hour and day and month and year were released to kill a third of mankind. Now the number of the army of the horsemen was 200 million. I heard the number of them. How many know that things are aligning right now in the nations? There's a lot of talk about World War III. And there are armies, folks, that have the capability of being this large right now. Revelation 9:17, and thus I saw the horses in the vision. Those who sat on them had breastplates plates of fiery red, hyacinth blue, and sulfur yellow. And the heads, listen, of the horses were like the heads of lions. And out of their mouths came fire, smoke, and brimstone. Now, who knows if maybe John was seeing a picture of tanks? Who knows? But by these three plagues, verse 18, a third of mankind was killed by the fire and smoke and the brimstone which came out of their mouths. For their power is in their mouth and in their tails. For their tails are like serpents. What does a tank look like in the barrel of a tank? Having heads, and with them they do harm. Verse 20. But the rest of mankind who were not killed by these plagues did not repent of the works of their hands, that they should not worship, listen, demons, idols of gold, silver, brass, stone, and wood, which can neither see nor hear or walk. And they did not repent of their murders or their sorceries or their sexual immorality or their thefts. The title of my message today is They Did Not Repent. God spoke to me several weeks ago. He just dropped this in my spirit that, and reminded me that we're living in a time now when people are refusing to repent. People are resisting the Spirit of God. They're ignoring the clear direction of Scripture. People are looking for those who will tell them what they want to hear, but not what they need to hear, which is the truth. Because the truth will save you. And there are many false prophets, amen, in the world today. There are many who are leading people astray. They are telling them lies, and they're trying to make people feel comfortable. And they're doing that because they want people to like them. How many know that if you really love somebody, you will tell them the truth? Amen. Even if it's not popular. Even if people don't like you, you love them enough. If you see somebody drowning in the sea and you have a lifesaver, if you love that person, you're not going to worry about splashing water in their face when you throw it at them. Amen. You're going to say, hey, get a hold of this. Listen up. There's an escape. There's a way for you to be saved, to be forgiven, to be sanctified, to be set apart, to be ready to meet God. And if you try to save your life, you will lose it. If you think you, by your own strength, can save yourself, you're deluded. There's salvation in none other. You must repent. You must turn to Christ. Reach out. Jesus said in John 3, He said, this is the condemnation. This is what condemns people to hell. He says that light has come into the world. But men love the darkness rather than the light. And they don't come into the light lest their deeds be exposed. People who are in the darkness don't want to be exposed. So they stay away from the light. They reject, they resist the Spirit of God and the Word of God, and it will bring their own destruction. He says, I didn't come to condemn the world, but that the world through me might be saved. Jesus shed His blood, for God so loved the world, He loves us that much, that He took our place on the cross. He took our place. He bled and He died for me. He bled and died for you. And if we reject and resist such a great salvation, we will get what we wanted. Eternal separation. The Bible talks about two deaths. There is one biological death. It is appointed unto man once to die. After this, the judgment. And then the second death, which is the final death. You don't want to be part of the second death. You want to get your heart right with God today. See, God is calling and the word is going out. And there are many people who are blocking their ears. They don't want to hear it. They just want to hear what they want to be told. Many people are going around, as you know, as Paul told Timothy, having itching ears, seeking teachers who will just make them feel good. But if you love somebody, you don't lie to them. You don't tell them sweet stories if their soul is in danger. You tell them, repent. You need to turn away from your sin, because there are sins that are listed here. And I want us to take a look at it. that are going to bring the destruction of people because they refuse to repent of these. And the first one is worshiping demons. Now, in Proverbs 27 and 12, it says, "A prudent man foresees evil and hides himself. The simple pass on and are punished." And in the Good News Bible, it says it this way, "Sensible people will see trouble coming and avoid it. But an unthinking person will walk right into it and regret it later." So let us be wise, let us be prudent, and let us pay attention to not what I'm saying today, but what God says in His Word, because this Word is true. And let's examine these. The first one, the first sin that's going to categorize the last days is the worshiping of demons. Now, this is nothing new. People have been worshiping demons from the beginning, amen, since the fall. But have we not witnessed, as of late, a huge increase in that, especially in America? Because all of us are made to worship, folks. And unfortunately, because the church has been asleep, and the church has been lukewarm, and the church has not had any authority or any power, people have not found any solutions in the church. What happens? You come into a dead place. There's nothing happening there. There's no solution there. You're just coming there to do something. And we end up playing church. And after a while, you say, well, that ain't working. And because we are designed with this hole in us that needs to be filled, and God wants to fill that, amen, that space within us, we are going to worship something, or are going to look for something to satisfy us, something to fill that need that we have, that craves for purpose and meaning. Why am I here? And so people are turning to demons because they present themselves as friends. Angels of light, those who are here to help you, to bless you, to make you prosperous. Oh, you don't like that person? Here, I'll help you deal with them. Are you living in fear? Here, I'll make you feel comfortable. I'll make you feel confident if you just listen to me. How many know that when you see an idol, folks, the idol itself is nothing, right? It can't talk, it can't speak, it can't walk. Why is it that people bow down to these things? I'll tell you why. It's because Satan knows whenever somebody bows down to any other God except Jehovah God Most High, El Elyon, amen, the Most High God, that they are breaking the law of God and therefore giving Satan legal access into their life. And so what Satan will do is he will assign demons into that idol. And behind every idol is a demon. And that's why people will worship these things and talk to them and give offerings to these things. They're trying to appease the spirit so that, you know, out of their sacrifice, they'll get something in return. And so the devil continues to draw them deeper in because his whole purpose is to possess and destroy the person. Am I making sense so far? So behind every idol is a demon. And so people are worshiping demons. If you just look, I mean, look at America today. Occult practice, Satanist churches, witchcraft is huge. You know, there's an increase of devil worship and spiritism. You know, seances, horoscopes, Ouija boards, Dungeons and Dragons games. How about all these cartoons that are coming out now? They're full of the occult. And why is that? Why are people grasping a hold of this stuff? Why are they gravitating to it? It's because they have not had the true God presented to them. There's a hunger. There's a need for people to worship. And so they're going to find something to worship where they feel there's some power. Come on. Do you understand that there is a necessity for the Church of Jesus Christ to demonstrate the kingdom of power? There is a requirement for miracles. The people in this world need to see that God Most High, He rules, amen, in the affairs of men. That Jesus Christ has all authority in heaven and on earth. Amen? And the devil is a liar, and he convinces people that he's greater than God, and that's why people worship him. Because you will worship what you fear. Halloween is coming up, and people are, without even realizing it, is they're partaking in something that celebrates the darkness. thinking it's just a cute little holiday. Well, tonight I hope you come out and watch this film. It's going to show you that there's nothing cute about it. It's diabolical. It's a horrible thing. And this is the holy night of those who are in the dark arts and of the occult world. And in that night, there's sacrifices, even human sacrifices. As a matter of fact, all of the things that they do, the pumpkins, you know, the jack-o'-lanterns, the bobbing for apples, the trick-or-treat, it all has to do with human sacrifice. And you're going to have to learn and discover that it isn't something that's cute at all. You don't want to dress up little Johnny, amen, in any of these devil costumes or anything that looks like that, amen. Some people get upset with me, but I'm going to tell you the truth anyways. Hallelujah. See, I didn't know this growing up. I trick-or-treated. I partook in all that stuff, you know. I didn't know how sick it really was. I didn't know the history. But we're seeing this thing happening right now. Now listen to what God instructed national Israel in Deuteronomy 18 and verse 9. This is God's people that He brought out of bondage. And He's given them instruction because He doesn't want them to be defiled or polluted by the gods of those who are around them who did not know the true God, who worship demons. He said, listen, in verse 9, when you enter the land the Lord your God is giving you, be very careful. Everybody say, be very careful. Not to imitate the detestable customs of the nations living there. For example, never sacrifice your son or daughter as a burnt offering, and do not let your people practice fortune telling, or use sorcery, or interpret omens, or engage in witchcraft. Verse 11, or cast spells, or function as mediums or psychics, or call forth the spirits of the dead, necromancy. Verse 12, anyone who does these things is detestable to the Lord, or an abomination in the King James. He didn't say these things are an abomination. They are. But he says anyone who practices these things are detestable. The people that practice these things are detestable to God. Do you understand that before we came to Jesus, every one of us were enemies to God? Everyone is an enemy to God except through the mercy of God, through the blood of Jesus Christ. Amen. We can be forgiven and we can be brought back into right standing to become the righteousness of God in Christ. We can be brought back into the place now where we can have access to our Father's throne. Hallelujah. We can be free from sin, death, hell, and the grave. We can be free from the power of darkness and from the power of sin through the blood of Jesus Christ. We are overcomers. We are more than conquerors through Him who saved us. More than conquerors. Know who you are. Know the authority that you have in Christ. Know that you don't have to bow down to the devil. You don't have to live in fear and in shame and in guilt. God came to deal with the guilt problem that you've been dealing with. There's somebody here this morning. You've been dealing with guilt for all your life and you haven't known what to do with it. Well, I'm here to tell you there's a solution. His name is Jesus. These things, folks, incur God's wrath. In Revelation 14:11, it says that the smoke of their torment ascends forever and ever, and they have no rest day or night who worship the beast and his image, and whoever receives the mark of his name. You see, all of these things that we're going to talk about here are leading up to the ultimate idolatry, and that is the worship of the image of the beast. We are entering into and we are already in a new world order where they want a monetary system, a global monetary, a global military, and a global religious system. And many of the churches, even the churches and many of the large churches are already being prepped and they're being drawn right into the deception, into the trap that says something like this, all ways lead to God, you just choose your own path. But Jesus Christ Himself said in John 14:6, what? I am the way, the truth, and the life. And no man comes to the Father but by me. As for me and my house, we're going to believe the Lord. Amen. You see, we have a tendency to substitute our own creations, our ideas, and our preferences for those of God. That's what idolatry is. It's me choosing my own method, my own way. I want God to be like this. Well, maybe your God's like that, but my God's like this. That's idolatry. You're fashioning a God to fit yourself. God doesn't change. He is who He is. He is the great I am. He's the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. He doesn't change. We need to change. We need to repent. We need to turn to God. We not only need to confess our sins, but we need to renounce them, understanding that sin leads to death. A truly repentant person finds mercy, but those who play with sin will not. I don't care if you said a salvation prayer, folks. If you're living in open sin and you're living in rebellion to God. Don't be fooled. Jesus said, he who overcomes to the end shall be saved. And you can only overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of your testimony, not by your own willpower. You need a relationship with Jesus. You need to get a hold of God. You need to seek His face. You better know Him. Amen? You don't want to hear Jesus say in that day, who are you? Oh God. Open our eyes, open our hearts today. Holy Spirit, do the work that only you can do in every heart, and including mine today. Including mine. Another one of the sins besides idolatry and demon worship is number three, it's murders. Jesus called Satan a murderer. Homicides have turned many of our nation's cities into war zones. We have murderous suicide bombers and terrorists on the rise everywhere throughout the earth and in the USA as well. One statistic says in America, 1.5 million babies are snuffed out by abortion every year. That's murder, folks. I don't care how you want to label it, how you want to dress it up. It is what it is. It's murder. Violence is everywhere, even on our highways, where road rage has become a common occurrence. You're hearing about it all every day. You know what else the Apostle John said? Hear me. Hating your brother is the same as murder. We better learn how to forgive. We better let it go. We better let that grudge go. We better let that person go. We better say, God, forgive me as I forgive others who trespass against me. Jesus said, if you don't forgive those who trespass against you, neither will your Father in heaven forgive you. Don't be fooled. Don't be deceived. You want to make heaven your home? You're going to have to forgive others. The alternative is hell. See, God didn't make, Unifer just said, but God didn't make hell for mankind. In Matthew 25, it says that it was prepared for the devil and his angels. But those who want to worship them and bow down to them and listen to them and disregard God are going to find themselves in the same place where the devil and his angels will be, and that is the lake of fire. Not because God wants that. God never wanted that. God wants all people to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. God wants people to repent and turn to Him so that they can receive mercy and find grace to help them. Amen. So they can overcome. Jesus wants to share His kingdom with all of us. But He can't give you anything that you don't want. And you can't have what He has unless you're willing to repent of your ways. In 1 John 3:14 it says, we know that we have passed from death to life. How? Because we love the brethren. He who does not love his brother abides in death. Whoever hates his brother, verse 15, is a murderer. And you know that no murderer has eternal life abiding in him. Wow. Check your heart. You know, we've seen a lot of people get set free. They get delivered. They get healed after they forgive. As a matter of fact, you want to get saved? You want your soul saved? You're going to have to forgive others. See, we've just turned it into some little ABC formula. Folks, that's not what the Bible teaches at all. Jesus said, come after me. You want to be my disciple? Deny yourself. Take up your cross and follow me daily. Enter into a relationship. When you discover how good Jesus is, how wonderful He is, how loving He is, how kind He is, when you discover the heart of God, you'll want to be with Him. You'll want to serve Him. You'll want to obey Him. Lord, what can I do for You? I didn't care about God. I didn't care about Jesus. I didn't care about any of that stuff. I just cared about me. I just wanted to get drunk and stoned and do my own thing, run around. Until I had an encounter with the living God, it scared the death out of me. I tell you what, literally scared the death out of me. God put His thumb on me one day in my bedroom. Oh, I had a decision to make. I'm going to live or die. And I said, Jesus, I'm going with You. God came into that room. He came in with power. And His presence swept through me. My eyes were opened up for the first time. I began to see myself as I really was. I couldn't see before until God revealed myself. God, what God did is He revealed to me my sin. And I became aware that I'm rotten. When I was pointing the finger at everybody else and it was all their fault and it's because of that and because of the way I grew up or because of this person or that person, is it blame game, you know? We're good at blaming others until God showed me myself. Oh God, it's me in the need of prayer. It's me who needs mercy. God, be merciful to me, a sinner. God's speaking to you today. You know who you are. God wants you to be saved. But you've got to repent. You've got to not only confess your sins, you've got to renounce them. You better turn away from this stuff like it's the plague. Why? Because it will bring you down to hell. It will bring your soul to hell. These are the things that God detests. These are the things that God hates. Why? Because God loves you. Because God loves His creation. Because God wants His creation blessed by Him. He doesn't want it cursed. Amen? And Jesus hung on that cross to deliver us from the curse. So we could go free. Hallelujah. Any free people here today? Beyond murders is number four is magic arts and sorceries. The Greek word here is, listen here, pharmakia. And the root of our English word, pharmacy. There is a direct reference to drugs here. And I was a drug addict. But I've repented. Vine's Greek dictionary says that pharmakia primarily signified the use of medicine, drugs, spells. Listen, in sorcery, the use of drugs was generally accompanied by incantations and appeals to occult powers. So even in the drug, you know, world, some people are just recreation drug users. It doesn't matter if it's that or if you're using it to cast spells or to enter into altered states. It's still something that God detests. Why? Because God knows how destructive it is. And not only is it destructive for the individual that's exercising these things, it is also influencing all those around them to do the same. It's destroying people's souls. And as you are well aware, we are witnessing a flood of this today, aren't we? Many families' lives are being ruined by these addictions. And I want to just say this, and I don't apologize for it either, but some people are in perpetual recovery mode. And God says, stop. Stop what you're doing. Understand that that is what I detest. Because what we will do, and this is what God spoke to the Pharisees about, He was grieved at them. Jesus said, you are those who justify yourselves. We can always make excuses of why we allow a certain thing or a certain sin in our lives, but God sees right through it. And God says, stop it. You see, what's lacking is the fear of God. People don't understand that if you just keep playing with and petting that thing and just coming back and forth and saying, well, I'm in recovery now for 20 years. One of these days I'm going to get free. God is not weak. He's an almighty God. He's able. God can set you free. There's no demon, no devil in hell that can stand up to the Jesus Christ. Amen. The Lord that I serve. Hallelujah. God waited for me to repent before I was set free. See, I made the excuses too until the day came where I said, that's it. I've made up my mind. I've repented. I'm done. I'm done. Do you know what? God is doing that, isn't he? He's setting people free. Yeah. They're coming to the place where they're saying, I'm done. I'm done. Yeah. That's it. No more. No more. Mm-hmm. And by the grace of God, by the power, the ability of God, you can stay free. Yeah. Trust in him only for that. Now, I'm almost through, but listen, folks. Number five, this is huge. Please hear me. Is sexual immorality. He says they did not repent of their immorality and these other named sins. Repentance brings forgiveness, remember. So no matter how deeply you may have fallen into sexual sin, God is ready and willing to forgive you if, everybody say if, you truly repent and are willing to confess and forsake sexual sin. God made sex. It's not an ugly thing in its pure sense. Amen? Would you say amen to that? Right? Amen. Amen, brother. In its pure sense, within the boundaries of a covenant. Yeah. And so God wants his people in covenant, not only with him, but with one another when it comes to the marriage bed. Amen. You enter into covenant before him. And that's what God expects from his people as well. So God is waiting for us to just get into agreement with what he's saying and do the right thing. And by the way, this Greek word here covers a broad realm of sexual immorality. It means adultery, fornication, heterosexuality and homosexuality, incest and other forms of sexual perversion, which, of course, would also mean bestiality. We don't need to go into all the ugliness of all this. Amen? Amen. But sex is a beautiful thing within the context of a marriage. And that's the way it's supposed to be. Outside of those boundaries, it becomes evil. And it becomes destructive. It's proven, folks. Even medical science can tell you it's destructive. If they're honest. Outside of the bounds of a covenant, it's destructive. It's even a sin, Paul said, against your own body. And that's why we're instructed to flee, 1 Corinthians 6:18, from sexual immorality. Why? Hebrews 13:4 says that God will judge the adulterer and all the sexually immoral. I don't want to be judged. I want my sins judged now. Amen. I want to make sure my heart is right now. I want to get right with my maker now, because the day is coming when the door is going to shut. The day of grace is coming to a close. The time of opportunity is coming to a close. Hear me. It's not going to be forever. There is a season of opportunity. There is a window of opportunity that God gives to a person for them to be saved, to come into covenant with him, to renounce their ways, and to follow Jesus Christ. Once that door closes, it will be too late. Jesus said there will be many in that day that will knock and say, Lord, Lord, open unto us. And what will he say? I never knew you. Depart from me, you workers of iniquity. Today is the day of salvation. Right now, God is pouring out his Spirit. God is moving on hearts this morning. He's moving on you and he's telling you, listen, I want to save you, but I can't save you where you're at. You've got to come to me. You've got to renounce those things and let me set you free from them. God wants to forgive you. He wants to give you a clean slate. He wants to deal with that guilt problem. You can't do anything about it on your own. You can only mask it. But God wants to give you a brand new slate. Amen. A clean slate. And he wants to put his Holy Spirit in you. And you won't really receive the true, genuine, authentic Holy Spirit until you repent of your sin. There are people receiving different spirits that are mocking and acting like the Holy Spirit. They're counterfeit Jesuses. Amen. And the last one was thefts, dishonesty. You know, it's becoming increasingly hard to find anybody that will tell you something and you can believe what they're telling you. Or they'll promise you something and they'll follow through with it. People don't seem to care if they tell you anything. I'll be there and not show up or not call you or nothing. Come on, folks, that's dishonesty. That's lying. It's better to say, I'll try, or I don't know if I can, but I'm trying to make it. And if I can't make it, I'll give you a call. Out of courtesy. Honesty. You know, even the world says honesty. It's hardly ever heard. And mostly what I need from you. You know, God says, I want honesty from you. I want you to be honest. He who covers his sin will not prosper. If you're honest with God and you say, God, I know I'm a sinner. God, I know I'm wretched. I know I'm poor. I know I need mercy. I need grace. I need you to change me. I need you to heal me and set me free from this plague of sin, this plague of guilt and shame. I want to have a clean slate. I want to have a brand new start. I want to be born of your Spirit. I want to know what it is to have righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. God wants to give it to you. But you've got to come through repentance. I mean, there are major CEOs, corporations, or, you know, they're being indicted for fraud. And even in our own government, who can we trust? God's people, amen, should be the most trustworthy people. Obviously, we can trust the Lord. But, you know, as his representatives, we should be the most honest people on the planet. We should be people of our word. We should be people of integrity. We should be the best employees. Because we're representing the King. We're not doing it. We're not working under man. We're working under God. Today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your heart. Folks, I love you enough to tell you the truth. And the Spirit of God is pleading with some of you today about these sins. God is saying, come clean. I want you to renounce those things. I want you to turn away from those sins. Because I want to give you mercy. I want to show you mercy. I want to reveal myself to you. I want you to know me. I want to save your soul. But he can't save you if you're not willing to listen. You can walk out that door and say, well, I don't want to do anything right now. But you know, you can't come to Jesus anytime you want. Did you know that? Jesus said this, no man can come to me unless their Father draws him. Has God been speaking to you today? Have you heard his voice today? Are you willing to repent of your ways? Are you willing to come into compliance with his ways? Are you willing to obey his voice today? Do not harden your hearts. Every time you say no to the Spirit of God, every time you say later to the Spirit of God, your heart becomes more calloused. And I don't know when that point is, but there comes a point where a person is turned over to a reprobate mind. God says, I'm done. You don't want to hear God say, I'm done with you. You want to hear God say, welcome, my son. Welcome, my daughter. The day of grace is running out. God's calling us to preparation because of the coming of the Lord is drawing near. Look around you. See what's happening. You're privileged to hear these things today, to have an opportunity today to be saved. When Jesus calls people, he calls them publicly. We're not to be ashamed of him. Every one of us in here is only a vessel that has received mercy. There's nobody here righteous apart from him. So we're not here to single anybody out and say, oh, you're a worse sinner than anybody else. We're all sinners. And we all need mercy. But God doesn't want to leave you as a sinner. He wants to make you a son. And I'm going to ask you to do something really bold today. You know, you've heard God speak to you today. You want to be free from that guilt and that shame. I want you to come down to this front right now. Come down to this altar. Just step out and be bold and listen to the voice of God. And we want to pray for you. We want to see you set free. Come on down quickly. God's speaking to you. You know what I'm talking about. You're not coming to me. You're coming to Jesus. He's the healer. Just come on down to this altar. Some of these sins that you know you're involved with and been involved with, it's time for you to make a decision. That I'm going to, this is it for me. I'm done. I'm done with my way. I'm done with my sin. Come on down to this altar. And I want you to just kneel down before the Lord. Some of you come over here and help them. Maybe you need to help somebody make that decision today. Just come on down. Let's repent today. God says, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and forgive their sin and heal their land. God wants to deliver you from the guilt and the shame of your past. Come and receive new life today. Come and receive mercy at the cross where I first saw the light. And the burden of my heart rolled away. It was there by faith I received my sight. Oh God, we come to you today. Come to Jesus today. Come to Jesus. Don't wait. Don't delay. Hallelujah. By you making this stand and coming down here, you're saying, I will declare and I will confess before men the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus said, if you deny me before men, then I will also deny you before the Father and of the holy angels. But if you confess me before men, I will confess you before the Father. You want your name confessed? Declare and confess Jesus Christ as Lord. Hallelujah. See that you do not refuse him who speaks. For if they did not escape who refused him who spoke on earth, much more shall we not escape if we turn away from him who speaks from heaven. God has been speaking to some of us today by the Spirit of God. Listen, obey the voice of the Lord. Hallelujah. Jesus, I thank you. Hallelujah. I'm not here to compare myself to others. I'm not going to be the hypocrite that stands up and says, God, I thank you that I'm not as bad as other people. But God, I'm going to come to you with an honest heart today and say, God, I've sinned. And I repent. And I renounce. That means I'm done. I turn my back. I utterly turn my back on these things. And I'm going to follow Jesus Christ. Father, I pray right now for the power of the Holy Spirit to overshadow every soul, every sincere soul here in this place today. God, I pray that you would grant mercy and grace in the name of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah.